Talking about the names of God, that's the beautiful name of Jesus Christ. Tonight we're going to be looking at one of the other names for God. But before we do, I wanted to see if anybody had a testimony or a blessing that you would like to share. I'd like to spring it on you so that if something is right there on the tip of your tongue, you maybe walked in tonight and said, I hope Pastor asks for testimonies tonight. I've got something I want to share. Is there anybody? Brother Brad.
I just enjoyed the canvassing on Wednesday. I know it's kind of strange, but it is. Couldn't get out and do something productive to hopefully see somebody get saved.
Amen. I enjoyed it too. But I was competing with my wife on the other side of the street. And by the way, Kay is an excellent navigator. She did a good job of keeping up with us in her car and driving us around. I saw another hand, I thought. Karen.
Well, I have found out that sometimes when you're feeling pretty low, Christ
can use
the
church. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Somebody else. Juanita and then Gio.
I had an answer prayer this week. I've been praying about something and just a piece about moving forward with what I needed to do. And, you know, you were second guess yourself, like, oh, the chicken out, should I have done this? And then the Lord opened the door and everything fell into place. And it was just neat to see his timing and just confirmed in my heart that I didn't have a piece and it came up on its own and it was taken care of. So that's it.
Yeah. Amen. Jill, you may want to stand up and speak that direction. Amen. It's been a blessing to have you, Gio. It really has. What a blessing. Paul?
Well, I always say that in my business, we deal with winners. And it's been a blessing. Even this last week, as I talked to people about the Lord and come into the store, I've had several believers. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing to think that really we are winners as far as this world is concerned, because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. We have an eternity to spend with him.
Amen. Yeah, I don't know if you call it your motto, but he works for a trophy shop and it says, we partner with winners. One time we were looking for a something like that for our church, and somebody said, well, we partner with sinners. And I said, no, we don't partner with sinners. We reach out to sinners, but we don't partner with them. Did I see another hand? Yeah, Jerry. Amen. That's back in Pennsylvania, where Jerry has been. Carol, did you? Yes.
This last week I had a meeting with the new assistant city manager, and it was a lunch meeting. So as the food was served, I bowed my head and prayed to myself. And he goes, well, hold on. I'll be happy to pray for our meal. And he thanked the Lord for our meal and prayed in Jesus' name. And so after we had our meeting, I asked him what his faith journey was. He told me about his conversion and how he's raised in a Baptist home. And it was just a really great meeting to know that there are officials in our city that are believers in the Lord.
So amen. Amen. Good. Megan.
Well, mine's just kind of along the lines of that. It was nice to see Janet go into my church. I mean, Kayla, I was here, like, if you come, we'll probably get over 20 people.
Yeah. Amen.
Okay, nice.
Amen. It's good. Kathy.
I was going to say the same thing about St. Janet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good. All right. Exodus 34. There is a name that is often not discussed when we talk about the names of God. We have the name for God, which is Elohim. We have the name for God, which is El Shaddai. Anybody know what the El Shaddai means? It means God Almighty. El Elyon, or Most High God. Adonai is Lord. There's another one that's Lord. It's a different meaning. It's a different emphasis. And it's the all caps that you'll find in your Bible. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And it's from the Hebrew word Yahweh or Jehovah. That is the most common name you will see in the Old Testament for the Lord. Then we have those combinations with the name Jehovah. There is, for example, Jehovah Jireh, which means, yes, amen, the Lord will provide. There's the name Jehovah Nissi, which is, yes, the Lord is my banner. There's Jehovah Rapha, which is our healer. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is our peace. Jehovah Tzekidnu, a little harder. The Lord is our righteousness. Jehovah Sabaoth, or Sabaoth. Yeah, the Lord of hosts. Those names designate his attributes. They tell us something about God and who he is. But not often do you hear the name Jehovah Kana. Jehovah Kana. It is a name that God gives Moses right here in Exodus 34 in the midst of what the people should not do. What the people should not do is mentioned in verses 12 to 17 of chapter 34 of Genesis. So let's read those verses. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god. For Jehovah, whose name is Kana, is a Kana Elohim. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. And thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods. Thou shalt make thee no molten gods. What had they just done in chapter 32? They had made a molten god. God is rekindling his covenant with the people. And that's why he said in verse 10, when we were looking at what the Lord would do, remember, we're contrasting what the Lord would do in verses 10 and 11 with what the people should not do in verses 12 to 17. And what the Lord said he would do in 10 and 11, first of all, in verse 10, behold, I make a covenant. God states, first of all, what he will do. And then he says, I will do marvels. You see that in verse 10 again? He said, behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels. What were some of the marvels God had already done? We mentioned these last week. Let's recount those. What were some of the marvels that God had already done in the sight of all Israel? Does anybody? Okay, Larry?
Part of the Red Sea.
Part of the Red Sea. That, it's a wonder. It's a marvel. Brad?
He drowned the Egyptian army.
Drowned the Egyptian army. In a sea that's as high as reeds, as the liberals would say. You know, that's what people think, that the Dead Sea was just, oh, it's the Sea of Reeds. And those people could just walk across that. Well, amen. Praise the Lord, he drowned a whole Egyptian army in a shallow pond. So, you know, you can always have an answer for those people. Somebody else had something. Another marvel that happened prior to this. Megan.
Well, there's the 10 plagues, more than the manna.
That's exactly right. Well, think about the 10 plagues. That's God is referencing those as his marvels in the land of Egypt. Now, what were the future marvels? When God says here in verse 10, I will do marvels, what are some of those marvels that are yet to come now? Let's recount those. Somebody, Larry?
The manna from heaven.
The manna from heaven is going to, it's going to continue. It's already happening here, but it's going to continue. Somebody else, Karen? The clothes never wore out. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Brad?
The whole incident with the serpents and the fiery serpent on the pole.
Yes. God, just tremendous marvels. There's some more that are coming up. What are they? Dave? Yeah, the crossing of the Jordan River. Again. I mean, Moses calls upon God to do, or Joshua calls upon God to do what he did for Moses at the Red Sea. And God does this wonderful marvel there at the Jordan River. The walls of Jericho fall down. The sun and the moon stand still. And then he talks about a terrible thing in the last part of verse 10. This has the idea of something that would be awesome and fearful. Not to be done upon these people, but you can read it this way, for it is a terrible thing that I will show you. Awesome things that God would show them. So, behold, I make a covenant. Verse 11, behold, I drive out. This is a review from last year. Behold, I drive out. We noted that God had previously said, you are to drive these people out. And then we see in other places where God says, I will drive them out. So we understand what God is doing here. God empowers you to do what he commands you to do. But he, in the end, is the one who does it. Behold, I drive out. Then we get to the section, what the people should not do. Make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. And in fact, he says in verse 12, watch yourself or take heed to yourself. And this warning is given because God knows that they can get sucked into making a covenant. And he knows that we too have the tendency to try to just get along with the world a little bit. No covenants. No agreements with the inhabitants of the land. Folks, this is a call to separation. This is that dirty word that people don't like. Oh, I'm so tired of people talking about separation. Don't ever get tired of it. It is a lifelong doctrine that you must understand that as God's people, we must live a separated life. You as an individual, we as a church. As a church, we call it ecclesiastical separation. As a person, we just call it personal separation. We separate ourselves from the world, the flesh, and the devil. As a church, we're careful who we have stand behind this pulpit. We're careful who we endorse. We're careful about those things. It's easy to just say, you know, go do what you want to do. No. Pastor, I know this guy. And then I start asking questions. Well, where else does he go to preach? What else does he talk about? Well, he goes and he's every once in a while going to such and such a church. No, I'm not going to have him in this pulpit. Can't have him. And I made the statement that most problems that Christians have are due to trying to get along with God and the world. It's not going to happen. How often we make peace with those with whom God is at war? I mean, just think common sense-wise. That cannot happen. The unequal yokes that we read about in the New Testament. And then you wonder why God doesn't bless you. Since the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, then should your face be against those as well? Are you better than he? If God's face is against those who do evil, then my face needs to be against them as well. So Israel had a choice, and God's giving them a choice right here. And we have a choice too. To keep our covenant with God. You'll see marvels and wonders. Otherwise, you make a covenant with the enemy, and what's the promise in verse 12? It'll be a snare. You know what a snare is? How many of you have ever set up a snare to catch an animal? So some of you have. You've got this little wire, a thin wire that the animal can't see very well. And maybe if you're trying to catch a rabbit, you make it about maybe that big. And you tie it in such a way that if something goes in it and starts pulling, it tightens and it gets tighter and tighter and tighter. And so the rabbit is going along his path. You find the path of that animal and you put the snare there. He goes through it head first, and then he feels something tug, so he pulls back, but it's already tightening around his neck and he cannot get out. And the next day you go and you find this rabbit who has died in the snare. And when you read about that word snare, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. You know, I'll poke around a little bit. And you don't see what's happening. But as Mama Rabbit told little Junior, before Junior went out and started, you know, wandering around, you know, watch out for those areas where, you know, be careful where you see where humans maybe have trodden. And, you know, what? Watch out for leaves that have pressed down and broken twigs because a human may have set up a snare for you, little Junior Rabbit. You better be careful when you go out. And he doesn't listen to Mommy. And he puts his head in a snare. This covenant with God requires offensive measures. Verse 13. Destroy their altars, break their images, cut down their groves. Verse 14, for thou shalt worship no other god. This is serious. Thou shalt worship no other god. Then we come to the passage we want to look at tonight. Because God here describes another one of his attributes. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. If you're like me, when you were younger, or maybe some of you who are younger and are reading this, you go, wow, God is jealous. I thought that being jealous was something that was wrong. Why would God say that his name is jealous? Jehovah Kana. Why? Well, I want you to know what sin this attribute of God is mentioned with. You see what it's mentioned with here? What's the sin that it is mentioned with here? It's mentioned with, thou shalt worship no other God, for God is a jealous God. Now let's go throughout the Bible and look at the other mentions. Go back to chapter 20 of the Exodus and notice again, and I want you to be able to tell me out loud what the sin is that is associated with the fact that God is a jealous God. Here we are in the Ten Commandments that were first given in chapter 20 and verse 5. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Again, what is the sin that this is associated with in Exodus 20 verse 5? Somebody raise your hand and let me know what that sin is. Brother Paul.
Idolatry.
There you go. It's back to having a false God. Now, go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4. And I'm looking up all those passages that I could find where the jealousy of God is mentioned. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Somebody else tell me, what is the sin associated with God being a jealous God? Geo. Idolatry. There it is again. False gods. Now, let's keep going. Go to chapter 6 and look at verse 15, maybe just one or two pages later in your Bible. Deuteronomy 6, verse 15. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. But you need some context, so we need to go back to the previous verse. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God. So somebody else tell me, what is the sin associated with God being a jealous God? Dave. There it is again. It's idolatry. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. Moses has died. The land is pretty much conquered, not fully conquered, but pretty much conquered. And before Joshua dies now, he says in verse 19 of chapter 24, "Ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God, and a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good." Somebody else, tell me, what is the sin associated with God being a jealous God? It's not clear in this one? Does anybody see it? Brandy? It has to do with idolatry again. Folks, what is it? God mentions that he's a jealous God when it comes to what? Idolatry. Strange gods. Now, of course, we have no problems with idolatry today. Nobody has idols today. Correct? Did you know that every one of us struggle with idols? Every one of us. You need to remember something. God is a jealous God. You say, well, that's not that big of a deal. What was said along with the fact that God is a jealous God, he is a consuming fire. He is a jealous God. And you say this is not serious? Listen, idolatry is a serious issue. And Christians today, yes, even in good fundamental churches, have a problem with idolatry. With serving other gods. Let me ask you, what are the gods in your life? You help me here. You make the application tonight. What are some of the things that Christians make gods? Help me out. Megan. No way. Family? You mean, is this why Jesus had to say, if any man come after me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he can't be my disciple. Have you ever seen people in a family who elevate their family above the things of God? I'm telling you, this happens all the time. It keeps some families away from church. When there's something that is going on with the family that... How about another one? Another God, Kay?
Technology.
Boy. Where do you start there? You know, is it a God when you're sitting in a church and you feel your phone buzz and you're going, who's that from? You know, and you're trying to crane your neck so pastor doesn't see that you're doing this. And you know, no, you've got your little God in your pocket. It's there. Your God is Facebook. Your God is... Do you say that we're not struggling with idolatry today? Our God is a consuming fire. He is a jealous God. How about another one? You're making application, Gio? I'm sorry? Oh, boy. Now... And this is just after you put a spoiler on your car. I love it. Did you hear that? He says it because he struggles with himself. Guys, do we? Yeah. It is. You've got a nice vehicle? Well, Alex is driving that Ford F-150 out there. And Pastor's driving that Ram 1500, you know. And, all right, who else has a nice vehicle? All of us have nice things. And it's not just vehicles, but it's nice things that become our God. Is anybody having toes stepped on tonight? What's another God? Jerry?
Bank account.
You know, I'm doing fine. We don't really need the Lord's help right now. Thank you, Lord, but we're doing fine. In other words, my bank account can take care of me. And I no longer have to depend upon God. Somebody else, I saw another hand raised, Alex. Your job becomes a God. It begins to interfere. It's, you know, like, you know, they need me to work every, sorry, you know, I can't, you know. But it's not just that. It's, you know, you're willing to do for your boss what you won't even do for your family, you know, somebody else. Brad?
I was thinking like reputation or self-esteem from others, I guess.
Yeah. What people think of me becomes a god. Karen?
Actually, church can become a god to us. But we go on emotions just for the praise of it. And we don't even bother to have people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that hypocritical part where everybody thinks I'm this great Christian at church, but they don't even know my private life. Dolores? She's hitting on one right here, folks. No, she is. Not, that is exactly right. You know, people almost get to the point where they're worshiping animals. And this, you know, their little cat, their little dog. Now, is anybody here close to a dog? Oh, come on, no, raise your hand. Seriously. We all are. If you have a pet, you become endeared to that pet. But you'll spend money on that beast. No, I'm saying this on purpose. You will spend money on that beast. You'll feed him and you will, you know, you in the wintertime, you'll buy a little jacket for him. This is what my wife wants to do. And you'll do all these nice little things and it's fine. While the missionaries are saying, you know what? We're going to have to come home off the field because, you know, we just don't have enough support. If every church... I've thought this before. If every church took everybody in the church and told the folks in their church, would you be willing for the next year to give two missions in addition to what you're doing now, to give two missions in addition to what you're giving now, everything that you do for your pet, would you match it? Would you just simply match it? What would happen to our Faith Promise program? We've got little gods running around in our house. I mean, do you see what's happening here? We all understand these gods that we have problems with. And the Lord knows we struggle with this. But I want to make a strong point tonight. God is jealous. You say, well, what can that mean? What do you mean God is jealous? Let me read you this little quote from Bush in his commentary. The covenant made with Israel was virtually a marriage covenant. Now, see where I'm going here. A marriage covenant. And consequently, idolatry was adultery. Every approach to this sin, idolatry, would be sure to provoke God to jealousy. Just as the infidelity of a wife stirs up the same passion in the bosom of the injured husband. Put it more on the level that we kind of understand. Theological word book of the Old Testament says this, the central meaning of our word, talking about the word jealousy, has to do with the marriage relationship. Adultery was punishable by death. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 22 verse 22. By marriage the two become one flesh. Genesis 2:24. Hence, adultery was a severing of the body, a form of murder. How passionate does God get when his people go into idolatry? Which is adultery. How passionate does he become? Go back to Deuteronomy. Look at chapter 32. Moses is giving the last words of his life to the children of Israel. And you're going to have to read the context later. We only have time just to read these verses. Deuteronomy 32:16, he is saying the people, they provoked him to jealousy. with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. Jump down to verse 21. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those who are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap mischiefs upon them. I will spend my arrows upon them. Are you getting the idea that God is serious about this? Nahum chapter 1 and verse 2. Let's see how serious God is about this. Jonah, Micah, Nahum. Nahum chapter 1. You've got the introductory verse. Verse 1, the burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. Notice the very next three words. Let's all read those three words out loud. Ready? Go.
God is jealous.
God is jealous. And what? What does he do? Twice it repeats, the Lord revengeth, the Lord revengeth, and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger, great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord God is jealous. You know what? It's okay for us to be jealous too, if it's in the right way. Have you ever heard of a man by the name of Phinehas? God commended Phinehas when the Midianite women were coming in and seducing the Israeli men. And Phinehas had had enough. And he went into the tent and he thrust his spear through some who were committing adultery. And later in that chapter, it's Numbers chapter 25. In fact, let's go. Let's just look at it real quick. Let's just look at that one verse, Numbers 25, verse 11. This is what God says. It says in verse 10, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel while he was, what does your King James Bible say right there? It's the same word, jealous. Same word. He was zealous. He was jealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Here's a man who has the jealousy of God. There's another man who's jealous. He was moping after he had been up against Queen Jezebel. Elijah the prophet, 1 Kings chapter 19. Go there very quickly, 1 Kings 19. And here's his complaint as he's being pursued by Jezebel's minions. 1 Kings chapter 19. It says in verse 9 that Elijah came to a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Are you noticing that this is still having to do with idolatry? Because Elijah had gone up against the 450 prophets of Baal, and he, because he was jealous for God, went out against those. Phinehas went against the idolatry of the children of Israel. And then there's this interesting verse found in Psalm 69 and verse 9 that is later quoted in the New Testament. Psalm 69 and verse 9. For the zeal, that word zeal has to do with jealousy. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And the reproaches of them that reproached thee are fallen upon me. That's quoted in the New Testament. The disciples of the Lord, when they saw Jesus go through the temple with that scourge, and he began to drive people out of the temple, the Lord's temple, The Bible says that the disciples later remembered that this verse had to do with him when he cleansed the temple. The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Where's this kind of jealousy today? Where's this kind of jealousy in your life for the things of God? Where is it in my life? Well, we close in Exodus 34. After God says he's a jealous God, he says, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land. Verse 15. And they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice, and thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods. Thou shalt make thee no molten gods. You see, covenant with the inhabitants, verse 15, leads to intermarriage, verse 16, and false worship. Do you know of any believers who disobeyed God and married an unbeliever? And they live happily ever after, right? It never happens. You know what? Intermarriage with unbelievers is obviously wrong. But what about marrying a person who is a nominal Christian? And sometimes young ladies think, well, I'll help him become a better Christian. Does it ever happen? Or the guy, you know, he gets interested in this girl and she's good looking and he's very interested in her. And she's, you know, she'll come to church because she likes people to see her in her new dress and so forth. And well, she's in church. Is the fact that somebody just comes to the church, is that somebody who's of marriageable quality? Better watch out. The spouse drags the other one down, holds him back, holds her back. It's like two in a yoke. And this is exactly what the Bible talks about in Corinthians. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Why? Because you're in the yoke and you're pulling and you're doing all the work. And the spouse who is not saved or is a nominal Christian is holding you back. And you could do so much for the Lord as you're pulling in that yoke. And it's the yoke that Jesus says is easy. My burden is light. And yet it becomes a tremendously heavy yoke. I've seen it happen time and again. To good men, they marry a girl who is a spiritual zero. She claims to be a Christian, but she's a spiritual zero. I could name this guy by name, a college friend of mine. He was a Greek teacher. Same age, we went through Bible classes together. We were hall leaders together. We were leaders in the dormitory. He went off to grad school somewhere, to a nominal grad school seminary, married a girl from that seminary. And today, he denies the Lord Jesus Christ. He just says, who's God? After they got married, I met her. In fact, he had me over to his house there in Greenville. And there in Greenville, he was talking about something, and I'd had enough. I said, no, Don, I disagree with you. Well, he got mad at me, and he began to argue with me about separation. I said, Don, this is not going to work. What you're doing is wrong. And his wife butted in. She was stronger than he was when it came to her opinions. They soon got divorced, but she'd had an impact on him. You know what? When the Bible says they're going to become a snare, the Bible means what it says. He or she will become a snare. I'm sure the same thing has happened, and my wife could probably tell you of girls who've married guys, and it dragged her down. But I know more about the guys. Folks, Thou shalt worship no other god. For Yahweh, whose name is Kana, is a Kana Elohim. He's jealous.